You all awake out there this morning? You're not convincing, are you? Awake? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 13, if you would, with me this morning. It is a privilege to speak here at Genesis and to fill in for Mike. But I've got to be honest, I'd rather be with Mike, okay? I originally was going to join their group to Seattle. I've forever been wanting to get to Seattle and go to Mars Hill and participate in some of the things that they're going to participate in, but did not work out in my schedule. And so I get to be the guy to share with you this morning, and it's a privilege to do that. We're going to go to Hebrews. I don't know the last time you've read in this book of Hebrews in the New Testament. If you're using one of the books at the end of the roll there, it's 867, page 867, the last chapter of Hebrews. It's chapter 13. I've recently read through this book. My devotion life consists of one chapter a morning. Everybody's got a pattern or something they do. I read one chapter a morning and stay in a book and read through Hebrews recently. Reminded of several things. How many of you have a Catholic background like I do? Any of you have a Catholic background like I do? Just a couple of you. You may have some friends that have a Catholic background, several of my neighbors. This is a great book of the New Testament to recommend to new Christians that come out of a Catholic background, a new believer in Christ, come to know the good news of the gospel that Jesus died for them and have accepted that gift. But the book of Hebrews talks about the transition that talks about from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from working to religion to a relationship and the fullness of Jesus, really exalts the person of Jesus. And so while we're not going to talk exclusively about that, as I come to this book, just a valuable book. We live in an area, like all of St. Louis, where there's a lot of people from the Catholic faith. I had an uncle that was a Catholic priest. And it's just a wonderful book to help those understand the fullness of the gospel through Jesus, moving from religion kind of thing. So encourage you on that in this particular book. But I want to talk about a subject this morning, the video, well, they've got it up on the screen already, responding to spiritual leadership. I want to talk about something that my guess is few of you, if any of you, have heard a sermon or heard a message about. And that is about responding to spiritual leadership. And we're going to look at a couple verses from that 13th chapter of Hebrews that are, quite honestly, very uncomfortable for a pastor to preach on, particularly if Mike was preaching it to you right now, because it would specifically, you know, be relating to you, to him, in our church life. But I've picked this really for two reasons. Number one is there is a huge gap or void within churches talking about this subject. And guys, I don't know if there's any way we can turn those lights down. I'd love to see eyeballs and talk to people, but it's a hard time doing that. But, I mean, it's very uncomfortable to talk about. And so very few pastors, when I pastored a church not far from here for 10 straight years, I never preached on this subject. It seems self-serving. It seems somehow, you know, people would misinterpret my motives and those kind of things. But it's in the Word of God. But a second reason, and really the primary reason I'm preaching this passage this morning, is because it fits with the theme that Mike's been walking us through in Titus. We've been talking about a healthy church. And Mike's talked quite a bit about, I know I've been, you know, listening online and I get his notes, his extra notes and all of his things there, about leadership. And he's talked to us much about the qualifications of leaders or elders. As we're in the process as a new church of rising up some new leaders and elders and that kind of thing. And he's talked to us about that from Titus. He's even talked to us about how those elders will work within the life of Genesis, their responsibilities, if you will. But he has not talked to us yet about what is our responsibility as members of Genesis to those leaders. And that's really what I want to address, the flip side of leadership. How do we respond to spiritual leaders in our life? Think about the building motif that we've been walking under, a healthy church. My dad, construction worker, I grew up taping drywall all my life, so I'm very comfortable in the construction environment. And it's great to build a healthy house or to build a strong house as it should be, or a building or whatever kind of thing. But no sooner than you build it or even as you build it, there are enemies to the health of that physical structure. Down in New Orleans, you know, a hurricane come through, right? We all remember that and just wiped out tons of healthy, strong buildings. We've just seen tornadoes go through the South and tear down houses and buildings. Have any of you ever had termites? We got termites a few years ago. And man, they did some damage. I couldn't hardly swallow that we somehow had termites right here in Eureka. But man, I got termites. And I have to every year have my house treated and dealt with and all that kind of thing. Because to physical construction, there is ever enemies to tearing down those structures that have been built strong and that we want to upkeep. Well, there's an enemy that wants to destroy churches, healthy churches. Even if we're the healthiest new church plant, or 10 years from now we're the healthiest church can be, there are enemies, there's an enemy, Satan, who wants to destroy healthy churches. And one of the ways that churches are often destroyed or hindered or hurt in their healthy effort to honor Christ and present the gospel is through this whole issue of leadership. And certainly on the front side, as Mike's been talking to us, sometimes churches, the health of that church is injured by the type of leadership that's given or not given to a church. But what I see most often, I'm privileged each day to work with 140 churches throughout the St. Louis area and keep up with churches across the nation and different things. I see much attack to the health of churches through some of the things we're going to talk about this morning, about how we respond or fail to respond to spiritual leaders in our life. Now, because this topic is churchy, while we're talking about the church, let me just say to you, and some of you perhaps have already been doing this as Mike's been preaching through issues of a healthy church, these principles apply to a healthy marriage, a healthy family, a healthy work environment, any other area of your life that you work with people and there's an organizational structure. While the specifics might not be exact, the principles are there to help all of us have healthy environments where we work, where we live, and where we go to church. And so I encourage you, while this may not be the heart of why you come this morning or the focus of your life right now, if you'll find the principles that we'll look at this morning on how to respond to leadership properly, you will have healthier relationships and environments in all your lives. So Hebrews chapter 13, in these three verses, 7, 17, and 24, is going to talk to us about some specific things, practical specific things that we can do to respond to leadership. When it comes to responding to leadership, there's one of two extremes to avoid. You won't find these in these passages, so let me just hit them. One extreme to avoid in church leadership is to put leaders, church leaders, whether you call him a pastor, an elder, or whatever you may call that spiritual leader, is to put them on a pedestal as if they're a god. To look at them as if they are, infallible. I know sometimes we think of other denominations that do that, but I jokingly, my wife has that tendency in her own life. And when we were growing up at First Baptist Fenton, not far from here, she saw one time the pastor in a T-shirt and she gasped because she just thought, wow, Cliff Moeller is this God, you know, preacher guy. He's whatever. And he's in a T-shirt. I mean, her DNA is to put lofty spiritual leaders and to somehow think they're not human. Then she married one. She found out that's not true, of course. But there's that extreme. And there's churches that maybe you know of or you've been a part of where that's the DNA, that's the culture of that church. I mean, that pastor, those spiritual leaders have all authority without any accountability. They can do anything they want. You know, they're the CEO, kind of a dictator, kind of a leader. That's a form of leadership that is an extreme that the Scripture does not embrace. But there's another extreme that really in the culture that I am in, Southern Baptist culture is where I have been most of my life in ministry, that is really the opposite of that. And that is that there is very little often honor, respect, or authority given to spiritual leaders. And that is to say that often the church rules the leadership instead of the leadership ruling the church. And that is just as dangerous and just as unhealthy to a church body. And so what we're going to talk about this morning and what the Hebrew writer talks about is a balance in that. And we'll hit kind of the both sides of that. But I pray that here at Genesis, as Mike and we are working to having a healthy church, that we as members, and I want to talk to us as members. I'm a member here. How can we as members not be a part of tearing down the health of Genesis and how we respond to spiritual leaders? So Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at verse 7 first of all.
Verse 7 says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Look at verse 17. Jump down to verse 17. It says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And then go down to verse 24. It says, greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. What's the common phrase in all three of those passages? Now, I'm reading from New King James here. I don't know what translation we have up here, but I was just going to say the actual word, you can put leaders in there. Those who rule over you is the phrase from New King James that's repeated in all three of those phrases. But remember your leaders, obey and submit to your leaders. And then the 24th verse says, greet all of your leaders. I want to go back to that 7th verse. And it says, remember those who are your leaders, or remember those who rule over you. This is really the theme of this 13th chapter. Keep your Bibles open and look at a couple things here with me in this 13th chapter. In this 13th chapter, the last chapter of this book of Hebrews that has just packed full of wonderful truth for the body of Christ, Paul or whomever is the author, there's debate about who the author of Hebrews is, but whoever the author is, comes to this last chapter and almost like a parent with his child about ready to leave to college, of which I did just a while back, say, now remember this, remember this, remember this, don't forget this. Spent a long time with my son, and now I want to make sure he doesn't forget some key things. That's kind of like the Hebrew writer here. He comes to the end of this chapter and he says, you know what, there's four things I want to make sure you don't forget and you remember. Let me hit all four of those. We're going to look at just one of them, but look up at the second verse, 13:2. Do not forget or remember to entertain strangers, for by doing some have unwittingly entertained who? Angels. As I thought about that and just an overview of reading this book and sharing this message with you today, I thought how much we as parents, we've said, now don't talk to, don't open the door to strangers. You know, we're against strangers as a general sense. And there's wisdom in that. Don't hear me going to the other extreme. But here the Word of God says, church, don't forget to entertain strangers. For as we many times, without knowing it, will be entertaining angels, a messenger from God is what angels mean, someone that has a message from us to us from God, a messenger. And so do not forget to entertain strangers. I don't know what that may mean to some of our lives this coming week, but a word to the wise from God's word. Look at verse 3. That's the second time you hear this word remember. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body of Christ. From right here where we sit this morning, we have not 3 miles from here a prison. I've lived in this city for almost 20 years, and I've never been in that prison. I was convicted of that in reading this chapter this week. I don't know all that that means, but the Scripture certainly speaks repeatedly that the body of Christ ought to be involved in ministry with prisons. Not just this verse, but many other verses. Here it says, remember those prisoners as if chained with them. Perhaps God would lead our church to be in a ministry at the prison over there or in some way. But the point is, Paul or whoever the writer of Hebrews says, remember those who are in prison. Then verse 7, we'll come back to that. That's the third time in this chapter. And then go to, where's the fourth one? Verse 16. Go to the 16th one. We do a great job at this. To me, it's the DNA of this church. Perhaps God would have us do it in some other ways, but listen to verse 16. But do not forget, or he says, remember, do not forget, or remember to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Remember, do good to people. And sacrifice, that was the word that jumped out at me at that particular one. And sacrifice and do good, and that pleases God. That verse convicted me in the thought that it is often that I do good to others out of my surplus instead of out of a sacrificial gift. We had a family come to our family last week or 2 weeks ago who is a part of some mission endeavors. and asking us to support them in some mission endeavors. And my first inclination was to just give a token or out of the surplus kind of monies that we may have versus give a sacrificial gift that would really hurt, if you will, to help someone else. And so I challenge us as a body of Christ to remember all of those things. But I want to zero in. The theme of this chapter is remember. Say that word. Remember. Say it. 1, 2, 3. All right. God wants us to remember. That word means to call back to mind. And do a study sometime of the scriptures. There's a lot of those calls to remember or to call back certain things. Let's go to verse 7 now. Let's jump in here. What I want to do for the remainder of the time is I just want to take that word remember and give you several things that out of these passages, and then the last couple I'll give you aren't even in the Bible. I'll tell you why in just a minute. That I believe it would honor God at this church if we would remember some things about Pastor Mike, as it's just him right now, but as the church is rising up, three different elders, new leaders in this church, as well as all leaders, spiritual leaders in our lives, that would promote a what? A healthy church, a healthy environment at the church called Genesis. Number one, we need to remember, first of all, about them that they are called and sent by God. We need to remember that they are called and sent by God. That is our spiritual leaders. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, going back to the left in your New Testament from Hebrews. Whose idea is it for the church to have spiritual leaders? Whose idea was it to have pastors or teachers in the life of a church? Sometimes we get the idea, if we're not careful, in talking about having a healthy church or a healthy organization, that it's man's idea. Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we find out clearly that it's not man's idea, it was God's idea. It says, and he, that references to Jesus in context to Ephesians chapter 4, and he, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some what? Some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It is God's idea. It was God's plan. It is still his plan that local churches have pastors, teachers, that have elders, that have spiritual leadership. And Mike has done a great job. If you've read all of the handouts he's given us and listened to the sermons, Titus 1:5, I think, is the verse there that he spent quite a bit of time in bringing to us the understanding and the teaching of the New Testament of the church needing spiritual leadership and elders and why Genesis needs them. It's God's idea. It's a part of his design and his structure. It was Paul, as Paul writes most of the New Testament, would begin his letters, whether it's the book of Corinthians or Ephesians, Colossians, most all of Paul's letters begin in the first or second verse saying, I, an apostle, come to you by the will of God. By the will of God. Paul would repeat that over and over and over in all of his letters. Why would he do that? Why would a spiritual leader so much want the body, the members, to understand that he is there by the will of God, the plan of God? It's critically important for you and I to have a proper relationship with Pastor Mike and the leaders of Genesis or any church, for us to remember constantly that they are called and they are sent by God. How many of you, you don't need to raise your hand, I hope all of you, but how many of you who know Pastor Mike and know the starting of this church, I mean, how many of you truly believe that this church has been started by a call of God upon Mike's heart? And that we are here today because God said, I want this church in Eureka. That is critically important to the life of a body, to have a healthy perspective to leadership and to be healthy as a whole, to understand it's God's design and his plan for this church, and specifically Mike, to be our spiritual leader. It's important at times of conflict to remember that. It's important in times of discussion and meetings and interaction with each other that we remind each other of that. That it's not just about man, flesh and blood, but this is about God. This is about his plan. This is about his will. This is his design. And so the first thing we need to remember is to remember that spiritual leaders are called and sent by God. And we need to remind each other of that as we go through our journey together to be a healthy church. The second thing that I want to share with you to remember about spiritual leaders is that they need our prayers. Look at the 18th verse in this 13th chapter. The writer of Hebrews, I'll say Paul perhaps, I'm not convinced of that maybe, but it's really plural. In fact, look at this verse, verse 18, it gives us a little bit of insight. He says, pray for us. Now, Paul, when he wrote a lot of his letters, would identify that he and Timothy and would use plural pronouns. But here he says, whoever the author is, says, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. The writer of Hebrews, the spiritual leader who writes this book, that God leads to write this book, to pen these words, does what? He requests of the readers of this book to do what? To pray for him. To pray for them. That's another common theme you will find through the Apostle Paul's writings throughout the New Testament, is he will pray, he will ask the body to pray for him. Go with me to Romans chapter 15. Paul, of course, wrote much of the New Testament, and I'm going to share with you a prayer or two in just a minute, but let me show you probably the clearest call from a spiritual leader to the need of prayer. Romans chapter 15, look at verse 30. I don't think Paul could have been any clearer here or any stronger in his language here. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, picture Pastor Mike saying, I beg you, members, I beg you, please, will you please pray for me? He says, I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Look at verse 31. That I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. That I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now, we know the context of Paul and his missionary journeys. He'd go from place to place, and some of his reference here is to multiple locations and some of the tensions and difficulties he's had there. But it's no different than any spiritual leader. Every spiritual leader feels torn, pulled, tug of war going on in his life and in his world, no matter what the circumstances or situations. And Paul acknowledges an incredible thing. That is that he needed the prayers of the followers, the hearers of those that he shepherded and that he worked with. No less does Pastor Mike and the spiritual leaders of Genesis need our prayers. Jesus, do you remember Jesus? What did Jesus do in the garden? Jesus, the Son of God, said to those closest to him, what? Guys, come pray with me. I need you to pray for me. At Jesus' darkest hour, toughest time in his life, about ready to go to Calvary, the cross, he said, guys, I need your prayers. I'm hurting. I don't want to do this. I'm struggling about something. May it always be in the life of Genesis that there's that kind of transparency and relationship and understanding to the dynamics of our spiritual leaders. And whether we know the specifics or not, the call of God, the scripture is clear. One of the things we need to remember to do constantly as members of Genesis for a healthy body is we need to remember that they need our prayers. And we need to pray for them. I want to encourage you to pray some specific prayers. In nearly every one of Paul's letters in the New Testament, there are what are called pastoral prayers. I'm going to show you one of them, but I mean, whether you go to Philippians or Colossians or Ephesians or Romans, nearly all of the letters of the New Testament record a prayer that Paul prays most often for the church. What we can do very easily is to flip that and to pray them for our spiritual leaders. And I want to put before you this morning a prayer, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, if you want to turn there with me this morning. I encourage you to look at the specifics of this prayer. It's powerful. I think it has all of the pieces of what Pastor Mike needs as he continues to lead us to start this new church in Eureka. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse 9. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask. Listen to the three things that he asks. We ask, first of all, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Is that not a great prayer to pray for a leader? To pray for Pastor Mike, or to pray for your parents, or to pray for your employer, or to pray for the President of the United States. Pray for any leader that you know in your world.
Pray what? That they may be filled with the knowledge of His will, that's God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Wow.
That's a wonderful prayer. Look at the second thing, verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
How many of you want Pastor Mike or spiritual leaders in your life walking fully pleasing to God, living a life of integrity and character and living a life that is pleasing unto God? We'd say, amen. Yeah, I want that. Then pray for him. Pray that that'll happen. Pray that God will show him what that means in his life.
And look at the third request, verse 11, Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy.
Praying that Pastor Mike, that spiritual leaders would be strengthened by what? By His, that is God's, glorious power in their inner man to all joy and fullness.
I'm going to tell you, Colossians 1 is an incredible prayer to meditate on and to pray for Pastor Mike. And I don't know when you might do that or incorporate that in your life.
I hope that you would do that perhaps in your own quiet personal time, and maybe you have prayer journals or however you organize your quiet time, your devotional time with the Lord. Certainly that's one place. But I'm going to tell you another place that I want to encourage you as families of Genesis and we as families of Genesis to pray for our spiritual leaders. Pray for them at dinner time. Pray for them as a family. Set a culture in your family. Let's set a culture here at Genesis that instead of pastors and spiritual leaders being complained about and talked about in a negative way in the environment of the family, let's set an environment where we as parents lead our families to say, we pray for our spiritual leaders. We love them. We care for them. We want the best for them. I'm going to tell you, that will do an incredible advance to the health of Genesis if we just would do that in our family environments. But number three, I'd encourage you to pray not just personally or in your families, but also in your public prayer life. In your public prayer life. If you're in a meeting with Pastor Mike, he's in your care group or your community group, or you're huddled in a meeting or wherever you're asked to pray in public, and if Pastor Mike or the spiritual leaders of Genesis are there, lift them up in prayer and pray for them specifically. Even pray for them based on Colossians chapter 1. And let them hear and know that you are praying for them. I'm going to tell you what it'll do. It'll make them healthier, and it'll make this church healthier as a body of Christ as we strengthen one another in prayer. And He knows it, they know it, and we are working together at petitioning God for specific things in the life of this church. And so, number one, we need to remember they are called and sent by God. Number two, we need to remember they need our prayers. If you're a community group leader, I'd encourage you this week as you meet in your community group, have some special prayer time for the spiritual leaders of this church. Talk about some specific ways that you could pray for the spiritual leaders of Genesis. Number three, let's go back to Hebrews. Let's pick up our passage here. Hebrews 13. The third thing is remember they are our example. Remember, they are our example. Going back to verse 7, remember those who rule over you, or remember those who are your leaders, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. The third thing we need to remember, according to the word of God in this passage very clear, is that they are our example. Paul, and I keep referring back to Paul because Paul was the pastor of so many churches in the New Testament. God used him to start churches on his missionary journey. He would write these letters to strengthen these churches. And out of those letters, we glean the heart of what leaders need as well as what leaders call others to do in spiritual leadership. And Paul said to the Corinthian church, imitate me as I imitate the Father. And so what Paul said as a spiritual leader is what many of us as leaders, it scares us to death, but it's just a reality, is that we are examples, we're models. Whether, again, it's parenting, we ought to be able to say as parents,
to our children, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm your example of what it looks like to be a dad, to be a father, to be a mom, to be a wife, to be a woman. Follow me, daughter, because I'm following Christ. Wow. I mean, that's heavy, isn't it? But that's the New Testament. That's the Scripture. And when we come to the church, in a healthy church, one of the things we got to remember is that our spiritual leaders are our examples. And that they're people that we ought to emulate our life after. Paul, when he talked about, and I heard Pastor Mike talking some about this, both when in Timothy and in Titus, when Paul was setting apart Timothy, you remember the passage where he says in 1 Timothy, I think chapter 1 in there, where he says, Timothy, don't let anybody look down upon your youth. And he says that, and he says, but you be an example in faith and in conduct, and he lists several things. Can't remember what they all are right now. But Paul told Timothy, you're an example, Timothy. Regardless of your age, you're a leader. You're the pastor of this church, and don't let anybody look down. You be an example. He would say the same thing in Titus, to Titus as he set apart leaders there. A couple things here we can do. Number one, I would encourage us as church members to remind Mike and remind our spiritual leaders, you're our models. Thank you for being a model. Encourage them by letting them know that you are looking to them for an example about an issue or about a situation in your life. And number two, thank them when they model that and when they exemplify an area that has strengthened you or helped you in your life. We need to remember that we have an example. It's one of the reasons God put leadership in the church. Back to Ephesians, God appointed apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. One of the questions got to be, why would he do that? Well, certainly every organism needs leadership, but another reason is that we need examples. Most of us learn best by seeing, not hearing, right? More caught than taught, all that stuff. We need examples. We need models. And so God has placed Pastor Mike and spiritual leaders in this church to be models, to be examples for us. And so we need to remember that they are our examples and affirm that, thank them for that, and seek to emulate as God puts them for us, before us. Number four, remember, fourthly, and kind of to help us balance that and understand that most completely, is to remember they are human. They are human. They're not perfect examples. Amen? We all know that? Mike is very transparent about that. I love about Mike's heart. He tells it like he is and where he is. But look at the 19th verse, still in Hebrews 13. Look at the 19th verse, what the writer here says. He said, pray for us. We read verse 18, pray for us. But then verse 19, he says, but I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. So the writer of Hebrews says, hey, I'm asking that you would pray for me, but I'm praying that I may be restored to you soon. In other words, he wasn't in full control of his life. He was human. He didn't know. I mean, Paul, the Apostle Paul, the great one we lift up as the spiritual leader of all spiritual leaders in human flesh, would often say that he had frailties and sin in his life. I know you're probably familiar with Romans chapter 7, where Paul will say, man, the very things I want to do, I don't do. And the very things that I don't want to do, I do. As he wrestled with that sin nature, just like you and I wrestle with that sin nature, the Apostle Paul had that. Jesus had that tension in his life, yet without sin, praise God. And he is our ultimate example. But God has given us our spiritual leaders to be an example. But in the balance of that, we understand that they are not human. I mean, that they are human and they're not perfect, that they have strengths, they have weaknesses. Pastor Mike, as he leads us as a new church, he will lead us to do things that will work and other things that won't work, or things that will, you know, excite us and other things that we'll say, why in the world are we doing that? He's a human. And we need to see him in that as he's our example, but understand that he's a sinful person just like we are. And in light of that, we need to do what? We need to encourage him. We need to lift him up. Can I tell you one way that gets very practical? Pastors need friends. Pastors need people to come around them and to be a part of their world and to understand they're normal guys. And again, we're blessed. Pastor Mike is down to earth and allows us into his world. We see more of that. But whether it's this church or another church, Pastors, by and large, are some of the loneliest guys on the planet. They don't connect well. They're not involved in other guys and people's lives. And so they need friends. They need encouragement. And so as a person that is human, spiritual leaders that are human, we can help with that. And it will help them be healthier. And as they're healthier, this body will be healthier as we honor God. So number four was remember they are human. Look at number five. This is where we're going to jump over to the 17th verse. Go to verse 17. We've looked at 7. Now let's go to 17. Verse 17 says this: obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Here's how I've put this. We need to remember, as a body of Christ, the members of Genesis, that spiritual leaders are called to lead, not just preach and pastor. Now, I contrast those three things, pastor, preach, and lead, because as you look at the New Testament, and Mike has broken these down for us as he talked to us about spiritual leadership and their responsibility. From 1 Peter chapter 5, you may recall he put before us some things about how the spiritual leaders are both elders, overseers, and pastors. That there's three terms in the New Testament, from 1 Peter chapter 5 as well as from Acts chapter 20, that three facets of one office. What often happens in the life of a congregation is that we tend to emphasize or allow spiritual leaders to give priority to one or a couple of these, but not all three of them. And I can only speak primarily from the culture that I'm from, again, Southern Baptist background. We are very comfortable in a Southern Baptist background to allow spiritual leaders to pastor and to preach, but we don't allow them to lead. And it's out of this 17th verse and several other verses in the scripture that we glean that that is not a godly thought or response. Look back at this 17th verse again. Some pretty strong words. Some words that when we are under authority, we don't like real well. Like the word obey. There's another passage that say, children, do what? Obey your parents. Parents love that verse, right? But children hate that verse. What? I've got to obey my parents? By the way, do you know the definition of obedience? Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told to do it, with a right heart attitude. Wow. Now, we'd say, boy, that one, children obey your parents, for my three kids, I love it. Yeah, obey me when I tell you and with the right heart attitude. But this verse is to who? It's to me. As a member of Genesis, to my spiritual leaders, Pastor Mike, I am to what? I'm to obey him. I'm to obey him. What's that mean? It means to do what he says, when he says to do it, with a right heart attitude. Boy, I'm not as cheerful about that one. I mean, come on. I mean, that's okay with children. You know, it has the same meaning with God. How many of you would say this morning, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Yeah, amen. I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven when I die. Well, you know what? That means we're to obey him. We're to obey him. Do what we're told, when we're told to do it, with the right heart attitude. You know what that creates when a child does that in a home? A healthy home. You don't have the tension. You don't have the bickering. You don't have the complaining. You just have a healthy home, good in relationships. Well, everybody loves that. Amen, amen. That's the same thing in a church. I could tell you story after story. You've been a part of churches probably. You can tell me story after story of churches where there's not a healthy relationship or responding to church leadership. And instead of obeying, there's stiff-necked and there's rebellion and there's fighting and there's fussing, in my opinion, and all that stuff going on. It's real easy. The Word of God says, obey those who are your leaders. It even uses another word that some of us get along comfortable with. It's submit. Submit, to come under the leadership of, just to come underneath. And that's a good word. Again, you know, as Scripture uses that word, just like obey, it performs and provides for whomever is doing that or called to do that, whether it's in the home or the church or in any other environment, both two things. One, perfection. Perfection. God wants each of us to be perfected into the image of Christ. We all know that? I mean, God wants us not to remain where we are, but to move forward in our development or in our discipleship or in our character for Him. And one of the ways that happens is when we come into proper relationship to authority within our lives. Because if you're in proper authority, listen to this, no matter if you're thinking of marriage, whether you're thinking of family, whether you're thinking of the church, when I come into proper authority underneath someone, there is that healthy tension and wrestling and moving of my character in my life in response to that leadership. And it develops me, it perfects me to who I need to be. If I come out from underneath that umbrella, then I'm just floating out here all by myself and I kind of stay as I am. I've been a part of churches for years and years and years, and the impression is that many of us in the body of Christ, we stay the same for years and years and years and years. Instead of being perfected and growing, we're staying the same. One of the key reasons of that is that we don't submit and come under a leadership. But the second thing that that does for us, the word submit, is it protects us. It protects us. We're going to look at just a minute right after this one of remembering is that spiritual leadership is held accountable to a higher level than we are as members. And when we're under that protection, when we submit under their leadership, we are protected. We're protected. We move out here and do our own thing and don't submit and say, hey, I'm independent. I can do what I want to do as a member of this church. I don't care what Pastor Mike's spiritual leadership says. Then we're not protected. There, under authority, there is protection when we submit. It gives us perfection, it moves us to more like God, and it gives us protection. For God will hold them accountable for that instead of us. And so the word obey and submit, as I come to see Him, both as a member and as I submit to others in my world, and ultimately as all of us submit to God, they're good words. They're good words. Because as I obey to God, I have a healthier relationship with God. If I'm disobeying God, I have an unhealthy relationship with Him. My fellowship is broken. It's just not right. So He wants me to obey so I'm healthy. And He wants me to obey so I'm protected. And so that we have that relationship as we should. And so He says, go on, look at that verse. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. That's where I get the word lead. They are called to lead. As I said earlier, in many church cultures, the congregation feels it's their right to lead the staff. I don't know, you know, all of us may come from different views, but in the scriptures, the church is not a democratic process. We love a democratic process because we're Americans and, you know, democratic, everybody gets to vote and all that kind of thing. But as you read the New Testament, that's not the church's structure and leadership. It's much like the home. Most of us get it like the home. Everyone in the home, mom, dad, children, anybody in the home, we all have equal worth and value. Everyone's important. Everybody has significance in the family. But I don't know about your family. I imagine you're about like mine. Not everybody in my family has equal vote. You know? I mean, dad and mom have a higher vote than the kids have a vote. That's leadership. That's what parents are called to do, is to make choices and to give leadership. And the scripture clearly teaches that structure. Well, the same is true within the church. And so the leading element is to come from these spiritual leaders that God has given us. What else do I want to say about that point? I've got in my note, this isn't the only place in the scripture that's overlaid. If this is new for you, or as Mike is talking about elders governing here and leading here, and that seems strange to you, and shouldn't everybody have a vote to decide what's happened here and that kind of thing, write down also 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 16. 1 Corinthians 16, 16, in addition to the Hebrews passages that we're looking at, write down also the passage from 1 Peter chapter 5. There's several New Testament passages that very clearly speaks that spiritual leaders are leaders in the church, not just pastors and preachers. And I'm not degrading or lowering those responsibilities of preaching and pastoring whatsoever, but just to call us to honor all three of them. Now, let me say one last thing on that piece. That does not mean that Pastor Mike, well, I'll put it with the next one. Leon, let's just go to the next one. The next one is that, remember, they are accountable to God. Let's keep going in this 17th verse. Obey those who rule over you, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. As those who must give an account. a part of this 5 and 6, particularly if it is in your spirit from past things or just naturally, that it's tough for you to see spiritual leaders as leaders or parents leading in the home or authority in general, somehow you aren't comfortable with, number 6 will help that immensely. And that is that God says, to whom much is given, what? Much is required. And when it comes to spiritual leaders, there's a passage in the scripture that says, let not many of you be teachers. Why? Because it will be a stricter judgment. Here, God is very clear in the context of we the members obeying and submitting to our leaders and spiritual leaders, that he says, they will give an account to who? They'll give an account to God. In the 1 Peter 5 passage that I keep referencing to, which is really the classic passage on church leadership, it says clearly that when the chief shepherd, I think it's verse 5, when the chief shepherd appears, when he returns, that he will hold the under-shepherds accountable for how they led in the body of Christ. That does a couple things for me as a member of this church or any church. It says to me, you know what? I don't have to be the judge or try to hold Mike accountable to what decisions he makes. God is going to hold him accountable someday. Now, that doesn't mean that we as a congregation or as a group of believers here, as members of this church, that he isn't accountable to us at all. For as I was going to throw out just a few minutes ago in 1 Timothy 5, write that one down under accountable to God, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. It says that if any of us want to bring an accusation against an elder, that is to say, if we see something among Pastor Mike's life or an elder of this church, a spiritual leader, that their character or their life is not what it should be, we have the full opportunity, based on the scriptures, to bring an accusation against them publicly before this body. And so there is an accountability to the body, but ultimately spiritual leaders are accountable to God. And I don't know what that does to you, but that gives me great freedom. It gives me great assurance that God is the head of the church and that I can trust him. If I can't trust Pastor Mike about something, if somehow I don't see the wisdom of what he's doing, I don't need to get mad and fuss and you know, somehow hurt the unity or the health of this church. I can say, God, I leave that with you. I trust you. You're the head of this church. And so God holds leaders, spiritual leaders, accountable, and they are accountable to him. Now look at the last part of that 13th, 17th verse. It says, let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for who? What's it say? Let them do so, that is, let them lead, let them be who God's called them to be, let them do so, let them pastor, let them lead with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you, the body. I don't know if you know the statistics, but statistics tell us that 80 to 90% of churches in America are plateaued or declining. They're unhealthy. They're not reproducing. They're not reaching the environment. They're not sharing the gospel. I believe one of the reasons is in this one little verse right here, that their leadership is serving and ministering out of grief instead of joy. I see it almost every day. I had a pastor call me Friday, late Friday afternoon, going to go into some meetings this weekend. And his tone of his voice and the questions he was asking me, he was full of grief instead of joy about some issues in the life that he's got to process at his church. One of the greatest harms we can do to this healthy church, this house we're trying to build as a body of Christ, is to cause our leadership here to serve out of grief instead of joy. It will affect the pulpit, how we hear and what we hear. It will affect every meeting that we're a part of. It'll affect how we reach this community or if we don't reach this community. It should be one of our highest goals as a body to allow our leadership to serve in joy and not grief. And it will be profitable, to Mike and spiritual leaders, but it will be most profitable, the scripture says, to us, the body. We will be blessed by his healthiness, and we are both the inputs of that, and we will get the outputs of that if we fail to do that as a body of Christ. And so we need to remember they are accountable unto God. And we need to lift them up and let them do so with joy and not with grief. Paul had some great things to say about some of the churches he worked with. Let me just do a little quick quiz. What time is it here? Church of Corinth. Did Paul have great joy or grief with the church in Corinth? Grief. Great grief. I mean, golly, you know, I won't unpack that, but a great grief. What about the church of Philippi? Great joy. Chapter 1, he says, man, I write with you great joy. You're a people, da 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 da. So when Paul was pastoring churches, he had some churches that brought him great grief, and he had other churches that brought him great joy. Let's be a church that brings spiritual leaders great joy, is my challenge and my encouragement to us from the Word of God. Okay, quickly, three others. We're going to do 7, 8, and 9. These don't come from the scriptures that we've just looked at. They're more in general, just from my heart to us as a church. That I think we would be wise to keep building upon this. Remember, remember. Three other things. Number one, remember them on special occasions. Remember them on special occasions. I can't give you a scripture on this one. 1 Timothy 5:7 says that we are to give honor to our spiritual leaders and double honor to those who teach us from the Word of God. Y'all remember that verse? 1 Timothy, give double honor to those who teach us the Word of God. Well, I don't know what you would interpret, and I don't even know hardly what all I'd interpret. It means to give double honor versus honor. But it certainly means more, okay? And Mike has talked to us about spiritual leadership here, that there's a first among equals, and that mainly comes from that verse and a couple others. But it basically, in my heart, means this, that we need to remember Pastor Mike and the spiritual leaders of this church on special occasions. You can do it at any time, but I'm just going to say during special occasions. Whether that means their birthdays, special anniversaries, wedding anniversaries, holidays, but specifically I'm thinking of Saturday night and Sunday morning. When Pastor Mike is getting ready on Saturday night, I don't know all of his routines and all the things he does, but that is a busy time and needs to be a restful time for a pastor as he's going to stand and preach and lead a church on Sunday, but and also on Sunday mornings. I don't know what it is the practice of some of you, but on Sunday morning, as a pastor has got tons on his heart and his mind to lead and to teach, I thought of a couple weeks ago when I was here, I'm not here every week, but Pastor Mike preached. Then we did a members meeting, and he had all that stuff he was going to bring. And that if we need to remember him on those Lord's days, those Sunday mornings, and those are not the time to bring to him four or five other new things on Sunday morning. We need to remember that his plate is full and that his mind is full, his heart is full, and he needs to stay focused on what he has for that day. And so remember, we need to remember and be sensitive. I guess a better word might be as sensitive. Be sensitive to them at special times during a given year, but on Saturdays and Sundays particularly. Number eight, remember their families. Heidi's home this morning again sick. I don't know how many of you know that. That's Mike's wife, and she's apparently had several weeks of sickness and that kind of thing. But just in general, even besides sickness right now, Mike's out of town, Heidi's sick, so maybe there's some things we can do in this point. Remembering their family and the needs they have these 3 days as Mike's out of town and she's sick. But I'm thinking in terms of their families again throughout the year, in terms of that Mike is first a husband and a father before a pastor. Amen? Everybody say amen, please, please, please say amen. Mike needs to know, and we need to know, that Mike is a husband and he's a father. And yes, he has responsibilities to us and to this church and to this community as a pastor, but we need to remember his family is number one. And let him know we affirm that, we appreciate that, and that we want to see that in his life. And so remember his family, remember his wife, remember Heidi. One of the things, Deanna, when I pastored that grieved her much, and maybe this will glean and help us, that we would never allow Heidi to have to hear the negative thoughts that we have about her husband. There may come a time, 6 months from now, 6 years from now, where we don't like Mike or something he's done or he's doing this and he's doing that. And we ought not be blabbing that and hurting and hindering a wife's spirit to the life of this church or to her husband. It shouldn't happen. You say, well, but we'd never do that. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of Christians in other churches that happens all the time. And so we need to remember their families. We need to remember that this pastor, this leader that we see as our pastor and leader, he's also a husband, he's also a father. And those relationships are critically important, and we need to guard those, honor those, respect those in the life of our church. And then the last one, I could have put it up under the leadership piece on number 5, is to remember that sometimes they need to say no. Sometimes they need to say no. As a leader, as a pastor, there's a lot of things that as a church is beginning or as an established church that are options for us to do or that a leader has to make decisions upon. As a program level and as his personal time level. And the larger a church, the less he can do and be a part of. And we as a congregation have to give him the opportunity to say no. Sometimes that's a no between good, better, and best. We'd say, well, it's a good thing to do. There's nothing wrong with this. But in his view, it's not the best thing. It's not where we ought to be focused right now. And that's a part of his leadership. And we need to allow him and remember that they need to say no sometimes to keep us on track or to focus us or to be the body of Christ that God's called us to be. There's many different types of churches. There's many different types of ministries. And God's going to lead him to govern us and to lead us to be the church God wants us to be. And we need to recognize that and honor that. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for just a minute. I'm going to try to help you do what I said a little bit earlier. If even all of this in the context of Mike as a pastor, our spiritual leaders, maybe doesn't resonate, whether it's because we're a new church or whether that's just not on your radar screen. Could you apply this right now to these 9 things or a portion of these to your own relationship to the Lord? Is there an area in your heart or in your life that you're not obeying the Lord or not submitting to the Lord on? That He is ultimately our spiritual leader. God is God. He is perfect. And He's calling you as His child to obey Him in a certain area of your life. He wants you to have a healthy life. He wants you to have a healthy relationship with Him. Maybe today is nothing more than about you or I saying yes to the Lord and saying, Lord, I will obey You in this area of my life. Maybe it's in the area of honoring leadership in general. Maybe there's a boss at work, maybe it's your spouse, children, maybe it's your parents, that you need to say, you know what, God wants me to honor and maybe even give double honor to the leadership in my life, and I've been resisting. Father, I thank You for Your word this morning, and as practical and as just bare tacks that this message seems to be as I present it, I pray You would enlarge it within our lives of how we can live healthy lives and have healthy families. And certainly the focus this morning is to have a healthy church. Father, we don't want to just play church. We don't want to just go through the motions. We want to be healthy before You. We want to be healthy before others. Father, we want to be authentic in our ministry. So I pray, Father, for Pastor Mike right now as he's probably landed in Seattle. I just lift him to You, God. I just pray You'd speak truth into him. I pray You'd affirm him. God, I pray You'd just strengthen him to his innermost. We thank You for him. Thank You for his family. We lift up Heidi to You this morning. I just pray the sickness in the name of Jesus would be broken over her body. I pray, God, that You'd give her health back. I pray You'd give her strength and energy. This week, Lord, as she cares for the children and as she just gets over whatever bug that's been on her, God, would You set her free of that and let her have great health, Lord, as she moves into this coming week. And Father, we just pray for each other. I pray for myself. I pray for each of us as members, God, that we would ever honor, we'd ever lift up spiritual leaders in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.